While you're finding your place, it's fun to be back here. I wish my wifey couldn't have come. She wanted to come, but she had other commitments, so she can't be here. And normally, that's a rare treat for us, but she's not here. She sent her greetings. Some of you were here about 2 or 3 years ago when we were all together. What a great time. And Frank, if it weren't for Lyle and Debbie coming after me, I wouldn't be here. They just keep saying, hey, can you come? Can you come? So here we are. Are you happy? You're a great bunch, I tell you, to put up with me. I want us to use the book of Romans for these three sessions we have. In the second hour, the rest of the story, we're going to leave time for questions. We'll take a break about 7:30, have some cookies, and I've been over there and see all those verses put up there. I just can't believe it. Lyle, I don't know how you get this whole team working. And that music was great. Thank you for singing in Spanish. La lengua de los ángeles. That means the language of the angels. La lengua de los ángeles. One guy said to me, sí, Los Angeles, California. That's right, too. Los Angeles, California. Es más español que inglés. ¿Cuántos aquí hablan de español? Levanta la mano para ver. Gloria a Dios. Tenemos dos o tres. I'm speaking in tongues, in case you're wondering here. I may have told this story, but I think it's the funniest story, and it's a true story. You know, if you go overseas and you don't know the language, you have to have an interpreter. This actually happened. A pastor from the United States went to Japan, didn't know a word of Japanese, so he had a translator, of course. He started his message with a joke. And his translator knew right away, this thing is not going to fly in Japanese. So he said, go on, go on. This guy finished this long, involved story. And his translator said one little sentence, and everybody just laughed and laughed and laughed. So he got next to his translator after the sermon and said, how did you condense that whole thing into one sentence? Oh, he said, I told him, he told a typical American joke. Please laugh. Isn't that funny? I think it is so good. So I appreciate you being here, and I know you've had a big day with the wedding and everything going on here. So thank you for being here, and thank you for leading us in worship. That was just beautiful. I appreciate that. I've never seen a drum like that. It's the first time I've ever seen it. You're amazing. I don't know how you do this. Tapping away on this box and it all comes out. Genuine drum. That is really neat. That's the first time I've seen one of those things. Did you invent that?
No, it comes from Central or South America.
It does. That is incredible. It's electronic?
No, it's mine. We mic it, but it's got a little, it has a snare,
string. I've got to look at that after this thing and the break. I'm going to find out how in the world does that work. That is so neat. I can't believe it. Yes, sir. I pushed it.
Okay.
But hold it. Is this on? No, I don't think it is. You help me out here. You look at this. I'm glad we can do all these preliminaries here. It's gone? It's going. Okay. And if you're listening in, you're wondering, what are we talking about? This is recorded. Okay, listen, sincerely, I just thank God for every one of you. This church is being used to reach the world. When we say, is the church ready and willing? Of course. At least Grace Bible Church is. I can feel it the minute I walk in this place. And I know many of you are out there moving around. I was just talking to James over in Africa, and Lyle over in Moldova and all these places. Many of you are constantly out there getting the job done. And I look at these flags and realize everyone represents some place where you are touching the world. But it's good for us to stop, back off a little bit, and think again, how do I fit into this thing? A waiting world? A willing church? Question mark. Who? Me? We'll look at it right here in Romans 1. Let's talk to the author, then we'll look at the book. Our Father, I do thank you so much for the privilege of being here. Thank you for the safety of travel down from Dallas and for the delight it is to be with these dear brothers and sisters. Thank you for this time of worship. We do praise you. We glorify you. And now as we look into your word, Lord, we recognize our human limitations. We are fully aware that spiritual work is beyond us. So I pray that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher. And as we read from these pages, that we might hear your voice. And then help us to be responsive to what you say to each one of us. In Christ's name. Amen. The guy was really a very important guest. When we lived in Spain as missionaries over there, Here was a guy seated across the table who had been to the moon and back. His name, Colonel Jim Irwin. He was on that mission. Some of you old timers will remember this thing. He was on that mission on the moon where they drove a car out there. How in the world they did all those things is beyond me. He was on that mission, and here he was seated across the table from us. He began to relate his experience of being shot off to the moon. He said, "I looked through that little window they gave us in the capsule, and I saw the earth shrink before my eyes. Got down to the size of a basketball. Then it sort of looked like a soccer ball. Then like a softball. Finally like a tennis ball." He saw the earth spinning in space. And he said to me, "I looked down at that and thought, all the things that are so important to me are down in that little ball." He knew the Lord. And he had an encounter with God on the moon's surface. He determined if he ever got back to that little ball, he would change the course of his life, and he did. He resigned as a lowly astronaut to become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was with us in Spain. Now, I hope it doesn't take going to the moon to get a vision for the world. I want us to feel it. You've seen it up there in the logo that we have here tonight. A mandate for all nations, and you saw that side of the world. Could I hold that ball out here in my hand for just a minute? Can you see it? As you know, at any moment, half of the globe is in light, half is in darkness. We're slipping into the dark half right now. Did you know that spiritually speaking, it is exactly the same? Half of the world's peoples have access to the light of the gospel. But get this, half of the peoples of this world have no immediate access to the light of the gospel. I've heard estimates of 2.8 billion up to 3.2 billion people are without access, immediate access to the gospel. No church in that community in which they live. The only way they're going to get the light is if someone from this light half is sent into the dark half. That's why we're here. Let's take a look at it right here in the book of Romans. In this opening chapter, you're going to see all of those elements of missions right here in the introduction. And by the way, would you like to get the whole book of Romans? Last time I was here, we were in 2 Timothy. I sort of moved through books, so I hope you don't mind that. You remember that, some of you. Tonight it's Romans. Would you like to get the whole book of Romans in 2 minutes? We can do it. Did you know that? If you take the chapters, group them in three, you can fly right through the whole book of Romans. Let's try it here. Chapters 1, 2, 3. The key word is sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's our problem. The key word is sin. Okay. 1, 2, 3, sin. 3, 4, 5, you have to pick up chapter 3 again because it divides at verse 21. But don't worry about the details. Just think 3, 4, 5. Answer to that problem. Salvation. I love Romans 5:8. Don't you? God commends his love toward us. It isn't us reaching up to him. He reaches down to us in that while we were yet sinners, just like we are, Christ died for us. The God-man bridges the gap and gives us salvation. Okay, let's take it from the top. 1, 2, 3, sin. 3, 4, 5, salvation. 6, 7, and 8, you don't stop with salvation. It's called sanctification. We're set apart unto God to grow. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Sin.
3, 4, 5.
Salvation.
6, 7, and 8. Sanctification. 9, 10, 11 is not a parenthesis in the book. I've read commentaries that say that they're wrong. It's part of Paul's argument. I call it sovereignty. God is sovereign over Israel's past, chapter 9. Israel's present, chapter 10. Israel's future, chapter 11. Sovereignty. Okay, here we go again. 1, 2, 3. 3, 4, 5.
Salvation.
6, 7, and 8.
Sanctification.
9, 10, 11.
Sovereignty.
12 to the end. Service. I beg of you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he goes right on to the end of the book, saying how we can serve the Lord. Willing servants. The whole book of Romans. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3.
Sin.
3, 4, 5.
Salvation.
6, 7, 8.
Sanctification.
9, 10, 11.
Sovereignty.
12 to the end.
Service.
You've got it. We'll pronounce the benediction and go have some refreshment. Oh, no, no, no. Feel this book. He covers all the bases. And then the opening chapter. Grab your Bibles. Let's look at it. We need to respond to our call. Waiting or willing? Well, I hope we're willing. Who? Me? Yes, I want to be a willing servant. That's the theme of the conference. Here we go. Why are we here? We're here to serve Him, to reach the world. And we have it right here. Look at the opening verses. Be a witness. Be a willing witness, I'd add to that. Verse 1. Paul knew this. He said, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, and set apart for the gospel of God. You know, we read the Bible way too rapidly. We just sort of fly through it and don't meditate enough. Let me encourage you to stop in many of these verses and sort of think about it. Did you notice three things he identifies himself as in that one verse? You can't miss it. Paul, number one, a servant. And you all know, Greek enough here, you get teaching that that's really slave when he says servant. It's usually doulos. That should be translated slave. We don't like that word. Slave? No, wait, we're against slavery. Oh, but this slavery is a blessing. A slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, jump, we say, how high? We're slaves to Him because it's in that service, it's in that slavery that we find liberty. Total liberty is found if we really serve the Lord. So he said, look, I'm a servant. I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, called to be an apostle. Did you know that the word missionary is not in your Bible? That's right, it's not there. In fact, the word mission's not in your Bible. What are we doing in this conference? If that's not in the Bible, what do we have this missions conference for? What's this missionary stuff? It's because the word mission and missionary come from Latin. This wasn't written in Latin. This was written in Greek. The Greek word for missionary is apostello, apostle. That's what he said, an apostle. That could be translated a sent one. Missions come from mitto in Latin, meaning to send. Last time I was here, I emphasized that a sending church. We'll try to see that again in this conference. We are senders as well as goers. And that's the word he says. I'm a sent one. Sent by the Lord, sent by people of the church of that time to reach the world. So he said, look, I'm a slave. I'm a sent one. And then the third thing he says is, and set apart for the gospel of God. He's a separatist. I happen to come from a General Association of Regular Baptist Church. You probably never heard of it. I'm from up there in the north. You can tell I'm not a true Texan. I don't speak the right language. I'm just an old Yankee transplanted down here in God's country. At any rate, in my little church up there, up in the north, we were separatists in that church. The GARB meant Grand Army of Rebellious Baptists. That's what it was, I tell you. We were... And I remember the rules. As a young person, I thought these were the rules for spirituality. It went like this. No! 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 And we used to sing the chorus, I have the joy, joy, joy. Looked like we'd been weaned on a dill pickle. No, wait, no, 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 no. We're separated unto. We were stressing from. Don't drink, don't chew, don't go with the girls that do. I mean, it was all no, 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 no. No, look at this. I'm set apart for the gospel. Oh, I wish we could feel that. What a blessing it is to be a part of something that counts for the world. It's not all this negative stuff. Granted, there's some negatives in the Bible. There's things we should not do. But that's not distress. Set apart unto the good news of Jesus Christ. Some of you know my story. And I wish my wife were here to verify this for you. Who am I to come down here? Talk to you about missions. I never considered missions till I was at Dallas Seminary. In my last year, mind you. I'd been out of college, University of Nebraska, and I was in the Navy for 3 years out there, see the world through a porthole. Great life. Got out of the Navy, got into contact lens fitting. They trained me at Ohio State University, and then they offered me a job right at the eye clinic. That's what I did before I went to seminary. Then the Lord touched my heart for ministry. Never thought of missions. Till my last year, my wife Libby and I went to a missionary's banquet. And to this day, we don't know if we bought tickets or someone gave us the tickets. We cannot remember, but we remember being there. And it wasn't the speaker God used. It wasn't the film they showed. I still remember it, Boca Marias. It was the little man at this round table where we were seated. He was getting acquainted. And he asked me, what do you do? I said, I'm a seminary student. He said, at Dallas Seminary? I said, yes, sir. What year? I said, I'm in my fourth year. And then you know the next question. You just wait for it. What do you plan to do when you graduate? Well, I said, I'd like to be a pastor of some church or a Christian education director. He said, have you ever thought about doing that overseas? I said, no, sir. He said, you mean you've never considered missions? I said, no, sir. And this little short man, Newberry Cox, took off, told about his experience of working in Guatemala. He'd had to come back because of a heart attack. But the more he talked, the more excited I got. I said, why in the world haven't I considered this? So my wife and I went back to our seminary apartment. I wish you could have seen the dump we lived in. I mean, it was so bad. Gaylord Apartments, they've leveled the place since then. They should have leveled it when we lived there. We had a rat die in the wall. I mean, it was just horrible. On an old broken down couch, I found out my wife had been praying behind my back. Her prayer went something like this, Lord, I'm ready to go to the mission field, but now I'm hooked up with him. If you want me to the mission field, you've got to get him to the mission field. And when I found that out that night, I said, honey, let's do it. Greatest decision we ever made in our lives. 10 fantastic years down in Central America. First Guatemala, then El Salvador, then over in Spain. First Protestant church of any kind we got started in the province of Segovia. First one in the entire province. And it's still going and multiplying. Now there are 5 churches. There was none there when we moved in there. Just incredible opportunities. Then we were asked to teach at Dallas Seminary. And that was a hard decision, but we came. In 17 years, I taught at Dallas Seminary in the missions department. And then I was asked to be president of our mission, the Central American Mission, now called CAM International. And now I'm back at Dallas. We've launched, as you know, this whole new program, a Doctor of Ministries, Doctorado en Ministerio, all in Spanish. Students take everything in Spanish. They write their dissertation in Spanish. We have classes down in Guatemala, just like you have in San Antonio or Austin. Extension campus, and I wish you could meet these outstanding Latin leaders who have their masters with Greek and Hebrew. They have to have all that to get in the program. And now they're getting their doctorate. 16 have already received their doctorate, and classes go on every January, July. If you want to pray for something, pray for these outstanding leaders who will write the texts we desperately need in Spanish. Not translated, but written from that context. And I think I would have missed all that if I'd said no that night. I'm so grateful to God. Now I realize not everybody here tonight is supposed to take off for Guatemala. I know that. But we are all involved in this worldwide outreach. Paul knew that. He said, I'm a sent one. I'm a servant of Christ. I'm a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm set apart for the gospel of Christ. We are involved. So be a witness wherever you are. Be a witness. Number 2. What does this witness do? He proclaims the word. Look at verse 2. The gospel, that's the good news. He promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, capital S, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, fully man, and who the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. Did you get that? Son of man, Son of God. Fully human, but fully divine. He is the God-man.